thanks again for joining us for the Three Under Par podcast. We have a very special guest for you for this episode. We have on the line Campbell Ross. Campbell, how's it going?
It's going well, dude. Excited to be a big part of the 69 podcast. My
favorite number. Love that.
Three under par, baby. It's generally 69, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
A little background for this interview. We've had many tour players, professional golfers, athletic, fitness coaches, and now we have just this bum that I played high school golf with. So I did tell a few people that I know, like, that I'm interviewing Campbell Ross today, and they're like, wait, why are you interviewing Campbell Ross?
Wow, what an introduction from T-Bone.
But
clearly they're tight.
Hey, but the reason I'm saying this is because we wouldn't let any just hacks on the podcast. The reason I'm doing this is because you have a badass story that we're really excited to hear about. But before we get there, just like we ask all of our listeners, how'd you get into golf? Tell us your story. How'd you find the game? And yeah, just kind of start there.
Heck yeah. So I grew up playing a little bit because my grandpa was a golfer, was not a great golfer, but like loved the game, took me out. I would be just utter trash, but would be out there just hitting the ball around, having fun. And growing up through middle school and elementary school, like I always considered myself to like golf. Like Tiger Woods has by far always been my favorite athlete, probably human being in the world.
I've known you for a while, and I can 100% confirm. I'd say it's a close tie between Tiger Woods and UT.
Yep.
You're definitely you're definitely a fan of the comebacks because they're both back, right? Texas
back.
And Tiger.
Texas football is back.
And
okay,
Tiger,
cool.
Right?
Tiger is also back for sure. I remember when I was probably 10 and my grandpa would bring me to Academy or something to buy me a dozen golf balls that I would lose in like the first five holes and I'd have to use range balls. But he'd say, all right, Campbell, like, here's your budget. You can get some like DT solos or like, I don't know, any ball that's like $20. It's not that terrible. But I would always go for the Nike practice balls because the actual Nike balls were too expensive. But I was like, I got to play Nike balls. Tiger plays Nike. I will only play Nike.
Oh, man.
So I've been a Nike guy for a while. Like, haven't been sponsored yet, but I'm still hoping for that.
I don't think they have anything to sponsor you with right now.
You would have been sponsored.
Hey, they could give me some clothing and footwear. I could be like Rory out there. I go to the gym here and there sometimes.
You would have been sponsored if they didn't stop making clubs, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'd use my TaylorMade, but then just rock the Nike Blade Polo and maybe a Tiger Woods hat all the time. Take that. Be cool. But nice. So yeah, I started playing golf just with my grandpa, but was never really into it. And then it was like seventh grade. I just was getting super tired of baseball and it was my main sport. Like I was absolutely terrible at football. I was the C team quarterback in middle school and The one season that I started, we lost every single game as the C team quarterback. So I'm going to probably blame my team more than myself, but like we still lost every game against bad middle schools.
That's
football, like football was not my thing. Baseball though was my favorite sport and just kind of realized that baseball practice was just not that fun, but golf practice was just playing golf, which was super fun. And so me and my friend Rex Wallace, who's good friends with Thomas as well, and Scotty T, I believe.
Yeah, shout out to Rex.
Yeah, shout out Rex. Shout out Domo. But Rex and I, we just kind of both like quit baseball and started playing golf together and got into it in seventh grade, like was absolutely terrible. Literally shot 125 in my first tournament round. May or may not have shed tears afterwards, but like we don't talk about that.
Hey, tell us about the I know there's a period when you and Rex were growing up playing golf together when you were also in tears when you probably had your worst golf injury ever.
Oh my gosh.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Probably eighth grade. playing with Rex, Cody Reader, and maybe Dexter. I don't remember. Someone else. Anyways, we're on number 9 at Pine Forest, number 9 white. And I think I hit a bad tee shot. I had to lay up to the lake like a freaking bitch. But I laid up to the lake, was going to hit a wedge into the green. And then Rex just, like, hits this low laser forearm directly at me. And it just, like, hits me right above my elbow. And, like, I had this giant welt. And, like, I literally fell to the ground from impact. I was, like, pretty tiny. And it just hit me, and, like, I fell back. Like, it wasn't like it just hit me and I took it like a man. Like, I fell back. Pretty sure I cried, like, a lot. had to get some ice on there afterwards. And then, like, honestly, it was probably fine. But was like, dang, Rex, like, that hurts so bad, bro. Like, that sucked, dude. Like, why'd you do that? When in reality, I mean, it probably could have killed me if it hit me in the head. Maybe. I also don't know. Like, I definitely could have handled it more like a man. But, hey, I was, like, 12. So, you live and you learn. You grow up. Figure it out. But just loved golf, man. Got into it. Quit everything to play. And love golf more now than I did then. And, like, I loved it then, too.
Yeah, so... I definitely know that you love golf based off of what you've done this past 6 or 7 months. But I guess before you get there, kind of, it sounds like there was a transition in your life about your passion for golf, kind of in an opposite direction of most people. Kind of walk us through, like, how you viewed it in high school, how you viewed it towards the end of college, and then what you did right after.
Yeah, for sure. So in high school, I honestly just, like, my goal was to become good, which for me was like a mid-70s golfer. And coming from like literally 125, that was a pretty tall ask. And I got there in basically 2 years to a dot. And then that was kind of the end of freshman year of high school, beginning of sophomore year. And then I just kind of was like, you know, I'm pretty good. So, like, what's next? they're like, hey, dude, I shot 75. Like, I have reached the pinnacle. Like, I'm the freaking man.
That's it.
Like, that's like literally when I hit that point, I was like, this is tight. This is what I want. And then also just like people started going out on the weekends. I'm like, that's super tight. Definitely want to go out with the boys. Like, who cares about practicing a whole bunch of golf? And as a result, my golf game got, like, no better over the last 2 years of high school. Probably got worse. But, hey, I was out partying with the boys, like, having an awesome time. Thought it was super tight. And then it's, like, I literally got worse the last 2 years of high school, which was a bummer. And then kind of getting into college, I went to UT and didn't really play much golf my first and second year of college. Honestly, was such a country club snob. I mean, coming to Austin and not having any friends that were members anywhere, it's like, if I was going to go play golf, like some dinky muni, I'm just like, these greens are trash.
Lyons Municipal?
But Lyons is actually good. Like, I love Lyons. I don't want to badmouth Lyons because save muni, dude.
Save
Keep
muni.
It around.
Oh, yeah.
Save muni. But, like, first, second year of college, I'm like, dude, these golf courses are all just in such terrible shape. Like, we had it so good in high school. Go to Lakeside, play golf for free.
Like, yeah, having access, country clubs is pretty nice.
Yeah, I totally took that for granted too. And then, I don't know, just kind of out of the blue, I was in this one class, intermediate accounting at UT, which is like a hard class, but I discovered that I didn't have to go ever, so I didn't. I, like, skipped this class for, I think, 3 months straight. Like, I did not go once, except for tests. And I had one friend who's your age, Thomas, graduated. Actually, no, he's a year older than you. 3 years older than me, graduated from UT, was a SIG up with me at Texas, and after he graduated, he went and worked as a fly fishing guide for a few years, but then came back and was kind of looking for a more, like, corporate job. And during his job search, he like just had nothing to do. So we played golf during my class for like 3 months, like twice a week, three times a week, just went and played golf. And it was kind of springtime, like weather's getting nice, Masters is rolling along. And gosh, dude, I just like got the golf bug. Like that's all I could think about. I just wanted to go play. That summer I worked in Houston in a pretty demanding internship and worked a lot of hours, but whenever I left the office before it got dark, I'd hop over to Memorial Park, bang balls, played at least 36 holes on the weekend, like every single weekend, and just got fully, fully back into golf and was loving it. Then joined the club team my senior year with our buddy Travis Ola, and played like had the best stretch of my golfing life my fall of senior year, like kind of right when I got back to school. Broke 70 for the first time and the only time I've ever broke 70, which is like, I feel like I should have done that more, but whatever. Got to take the good when it comes, and had like a couple really good tournaments. Loved it, dude. Like getting back into tournament golf was so much fun. I honestly, like I completely rearranged my schedule at Texas to where I could practice. So I only had class Tuesday, Thursdays for the entirety of the year. And I would play golf Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and probably one day on the weekend as well. Would just go out and practice by myself because everybody else like had class and didn't want to just get up
losers
at like 8 a.m.
That makes sense.
And, like,
that makes sense because they're at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're at school. But like, hey, golf comes first, which I think you guys can understand that.
Oh yeah.
So
it's because little white ball is life.
White ball is life. That's what we agree.
Something like that.
I've actually never heard that saying, and like I'm totally gonna use it.
You're
like
welcome. Let me know.
It's not just ball is life. It's white ball is life.
Little white ball is life is the actual saying.
Little white ball. It's like two extra words, but the phrase still works. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So kept playing a bunch, and also like my post grad stuff, which Thomas, I know you're gonna ask about this anyways, but it just kind of rolled into that.
Yeah. Good.
Accepted a job that didn't have a start date until February, like 2 months ago, February 2019. Graduated in May. Knew for like 6 months that I was going to have a 9-month hiatus in between graduation and my full-time job. I work for Dell and Dell in Austin. So like plug Dell Technologies. Tiger played great. Shame he didn't win. So did that, and I knew that I'd have this time off. And so I spent like months literally job recruiting for golf jobs. I wanted to work as a golf pro, really just wanted to play golf, and like didn't know if I was going to try to be a caddy or like a pro shop guy. But ultimately how it worked out was I got a job offer with Sunday River Country Club in Maine, which is a RTJ mountain design, like beautiful, beautiful mountain course in like the middle of freaking nowhere, Maine. Gorgeous. Like if you're there on a Tuesday, there's just literally nobody at the golf course. But Saturday, Sundays were super busy with people from New York, Boston, like the actual coastline of Maine, which is where people live. Course was gorgeous, and I played it the summer before super randomly. I had a friend that worked in Maine and just was like, Googled best courses in Maine, and this club was ranked number one or number two at the time, and it was public. So I went and played it, like talked with their pro afterwards. He's like, dude, like if you want to come work here, man, like I got you. I'm like, yeah, sorry, bro. Like I'm going to get a real job. Can't do that. And then turns out like I did have the time to get a job. Turns out that guy got fired and he was like terrible at his job, but the guy who replaced him was great and he hired me. And so he brought me on his staff as the assistant golf professional. So I worked there for like the full season. I'm not a PGA pro. I'm like not a golf professional, but like got to work and have that title. And it was awesome. Like I ran a bunch of tournaments. I played golf pretty much every single day, like 9 holes, or at least hit some balls. Worked a lot, but lived in the middle of nowhere, had actually nothing else to do but play golf.
So you graduated high school, you graduated college, you get a job, and then you decide you're going to work at a golf course. So you Google best courses in Maine.
How did that happen? Course,
and you work there. So that's pretty crazy, right? It doesn't get crazier than that.
I mean, like, I could have.
I'm hinting at your next.
That would have been pretty crazy.
I'm hinting at your next role.
Yeah. So the next role totally came like out of the blue. That was I was supposed to go to Miami with my boss in Maine. I was going to work as a caddy at Trump National Doral. Was going to go just like make a ton of money in tips and play golf every day. But then like my actual last week of work in Maine, I'd already signed a lease for an apartment in Miami with my friend Pete, my boss. And then I like finish up work. Keep in mind, this golf course is in the middle of nowhere. I don't have service at the golf course unless I'm in the pro shop, which has Wi-Fi. So I'm outside like running carts till 9 o'clock because we had a busy day that day. Get home and then see when I have service again. I have like missed call, voicemail, text, and email from this dude in New Zealand. like what the heck? Like, who is this guy? So I call him back. Super nice guy. His name's Kurt. He was the CEO of a club called Royal Wellington in New Zealand. And he's just like, hey, Campbell, got your contact info from somebody. Wanted to reach out about our first assistant golf professional job. I'm like, okay, that sounds super cool. Please go on. And so he's talking to me about it. He's like, yeah, we want to bring you on like super soon, full-time job. I'm like, okay, so like, A, I like will not be there for more than 4 months. Like, I have a real job. I need to be back in Austin by February 4th. Like, here's what I'm doing. Explain to him, like, I'm not a golf professional. I'm not a PGA pro, but I love the game. I think I'm like adequate at playing the game. Think I would do a good job, but like was like, dude, you guys need to find someone who's like gonna be there full time. I can't do that. Like, thank you so much, but I feel like this isn't really going to align like to y'all's needs, and like I would love to, but I also just need to be upfront about kind of where I am. And so we ended the call. He's like, dude, thank you, you're the man, like best of luck. I'm like, cool, that was crazy, whatever, like there's no way I'm going to New Zealand. And then actually was playing golf in Canada because Maine is so freaking far north, dude. I was playing at Royal Montreal with this guy that I just met at my club in Maine. He invited me up, which was incredible. And so played with him there. And then on my drive home, I get another call from Kurt. And he's like, hey, Campbell, you have a minute? I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm driving from Canada to Maine, so I'm in the middle of nowhere, like hopefully I don't lose service. But then he just immediately goes like, all right, I've got our director of golf, head pro, golf shop manager, and like our club president on the phone. I'm like, okay, like, hey guys. What? It's like, hey Campbell, we really want to bring you on for the season. We know that like you could only be here for 4 months, but we just are really impressed, blah, blah, blah. Like, we'd love to bring you on. I'm like, holy crap, this is actually real. Like, your guys are offering me a job. They offered to pay for my rent. I had a free place to stay. I lived at the golf course in a house. I just had to get there. And so I'm like, okay, just give me like a couple days just to figure this out. Told my parents. Surprisingly, my parents were kind of on board. And so I then called my boss, said, hey, dude, sorry, I'm not coming to Miami anymore. Like, I'll pay first month's rent. After that, you just have to figure it out. And bought a flight, wound up in Wellington, New Zealand for Royal Wellington, which is this beautiful parkland golf course, like members club, gorgeous. And was there for 4 months. It was incredible. I've literally played like the best golf courses for the last 9 months for absolutely for free. that's the thing. I could call clubs and be like, hey, I'm the assistant pro, like, at this place. Could I come play? They're like, yeah, dude, for sure. And I get there, I'm like, awesome. I'm literally not a pro. I'm just here. Playing your golf course for free. And it was incredible. Like, really, really loved all the people that I worked with and just got to spend 9 months just literally playing golf, working in the golf shop, watching way, 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 way too much Golf Channel. And then now I'm back working a corporate finance job, and I don't get to play golf for free anymore, and it sucks.
So you're back to the munis?
But back to the munis. But with that being said, I love Lions, and Hancock is also great. Like, shout out Austin Munis. They're great.
Yeah. What was the golf different? How different was it compared to the courses in the U.S.? What was it like playing in New Zealand?
Yeah, so for starters, everything there is in meters, which doesn't really matter if you have a rangefinder, but it's like kind of weird. Just if you're playing with someone, they're like, hey, how far is it? And you tell them in yards, like, that is so unhelpful for them.
Yeah, if someone told me meters, I'd have to get out a calculator or something.
I'm going to start giving you meters, T-Bone.
Sunday, you get meters all day.
Yeah, Thomas is just trying to do mental math and just, like, literally can't play golf. He's just too focused on the math. But it's actually not that hard. It's, like, basically you take the meters and you go, like, 1.1 times. It's just 10% more for yards. But so that was different. Dude, everybody there walks, which is so cool. I wish that more people did that in the States. At first, it sounds so crappy. You're like, dude, no, I want to ride in a cart, like, drink Billy's with the boys, just like zip around, whatever. But playing golf when you're walking, I think, is just such a pure experience. It's like, it sounds lame, but it just feels like right. You're like carrying your bag, walking, you'll walk with your buddy down the fairway, and they play fast, dude. They play so fast. We, like, awesome. Saturday mornings, we'd have people go out in four balls. All of them would be done in under 3.5 hours.
Whoa.
Every time. Saturday morning, packed tee sheet, and it's 3.5 hours or less. And the golf course was hard. It was long. It wasn't like a dinker. They just play super fast. And they always walk. When I was there, I got to play some, like, incredible, incredible world-class golf courses, of which I would say Royal Wellington, truthfully, is a world-class, incredible golf course. But in Wellington, the two top clubs are Royal Wellington, my club, and then a course called Parapara'umu Beach Club, like Parapara'umu Beach Golf Club. It's where Tiger played the NZ Open like 15 years ago. Incredible links golf course. It sucks, dude. In the States, we have like 4 true Lynx golf courses, and every time I play Lynx golf, I just get absolutely smacked. Like, I play so bad, but I love the style of it and want to play more. Then I played a country course, which is kind of just like a New Zealand dinker, but it was still beautiful because New Zealand is just gorgeous, like, literally everywhere. But yeah, dude, the golf there is really special. And I actually almost forgot, like, I went and played Royal Melbourne in Australia, and I was there when Tiger was there. So all of the pin flags had the, like, the President's Cup stuff. They were doing a big media day when I was there. Unfortunately, I did not get to see the big cat, but the golf course was mint. And, like, they had President's Cup stuff literally everywhere, and I played there for free.
I'm sure you're having a serious culture shock now, having to play at Lions and Hancock in Austin.
Dude, the biggest shock is that I have to pay. Like, not only are the courses just not anywhere near as good, but I have to pay like $40.
Damn, bro, I feel so sorry for you.
Yeah, isn't that tough? Like, so hard, man. Just got to play golf at these places for 9 months, and now I have to go pay. Like, life is hard. It's really tough.
I think it's interesting you were talking about Royal Melbourne. How excited are those people in that part of the world for the President's Cup that's coming their way this year?
Yeah, dude. I mean, the Aussies love their golf. Like, really do. And I was at, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. Most of them follow the Ryder Cup so seriously, and they're all huge Euro fans. It's like, dude, like root, for, like root for the Yankees, man. Like root for us. And none of them do. So, but they're excited, and Royal Melbourne is like the best golf course I've ever played. And so I can't wait to watch it on TV. Having been there, it's incredible. And when I mean, everybody there is just like, for them, it's kind of normal. They've hosted the President's Cup several times, I believe. And so I think for them, it's like, yeah, like this is just what we do. We're the number three club in the world. We host the President's Cup, whatever. And like, it's incredible how amazing this golf course is, but they're pumped. I think Tiger and Ernie Els had a big media day in the city where a ton of people came and like saw them and stuff. So they're pumped. But I also think they're just like, yeah, we just do this. It's normal at the same time.
Nice. What do you miss most about being over there? Is it more the golf, the people?
What yeah, good question. And so I loved the people there. Like I made some good friends. I loved the people that I worked with. The culture in general is extremely, extremely friendly. Very like hospitable people. I had so many people offer like, dude, come and stay with me. Like, please. And I like took people up on that, which I think a lot, like it's very normal, but you hear people say all the time, like, hey dude, like you need a place to stay. Like I got you. But they like they don't really expect you to actually take them up on it because like maybe you're not that good of friends. But I stayed with like members of our club at their vacation homes. I stayed with a family friend for like 4 days at the beach. I was just like, hey, like I'd love to come up. That'd be fun. And they were always so happy to have me. So the people were great. I think the thing I miss the most is just the ability to play a lot of golf, really quality golf courses there, play for free. That was such a blessing. And now that I'm home though, I am so happy to be back because I love my friends here. And I was gone for like 9 months and pretty much didn't see anybody during that time. So being home, like honestly, has been great, but the golf was pretty special.
Nice, man. Well, again, that's I wanted to have you on the pod because that is a really awesome a story and just crazy how it happened. So thanks again for telling us about that. So I kind of wanted to wrap this up with a few rapid fire questions for you.
All right, shoot.
Yeah, so I think I know the answer to this first one, and I'm going to be really disappointed if it's still the case, but what's your favorite golf movie? And it better not be Who's Your Caddy?
It's fucking awful.
Oh my gosh.
I know you used to like that movie.
Oh, I loved that. Lil Wayne rapping on the green was so tight. Gosh. That movie is amazing, and I love that you brought that up. But thankfully, it's probably not my favorite golf movie. I'm going to say it's like a close tie between Greatest Game Ever Played, which I actually now own a set of Hickory clubs. So you guys should get into Hickory Golf. It's pretty fun.
Wow.
Love that movie. And then also like Caddyshack, obviously. Amazing. Classic. I can watch that movie all the time. Oh, speaking of, I'm totally blanking on the actor's name right now, but the guy who's like the greenskeeper, what's his name?
Hilarious.
Bill Murray. He played at Royal Wellington, came into our golf shop, and I talked to him for like 30 minutes.
That's insane.
No way. That's and so cool. Like, let's go.
Yeah, he just like walks up to me. He's like, hey, I'm Bill. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Jeez, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, so we'll go Caddyshack because I've personally met Bill Murray. So I'll say Caddyshack.
That's pretty awesome. What's your favorite golf club?
Like course or like club in my golf bag?
Club in your golf bag.
We'll go to the new trusty TMB 2 iron. Love that thing, dude. It's like unfair. Just fairway finder.
I think you're the second person to say 2 iron. 2 iron, like driving iron for their favorite club.
Yeah, Jackson a couple weeks ago said his driving iron, 2 iron.
Wow.
Okay. 2 iron. I also just love saying that because it's like a it's like not really a humble brag. It's like, yeah, I can hit a 2-iron.
That, yeah.
Nice. Do you have any superstitions when you play?
Good question. I feel like I used to, like, a lot. Like, I'd always, always clean my clubs meticulously before a tournament. And then now I'm just like, yeah, I'm too lazy to do that. I love marking my ball with a tee, which people hate. And I also, like, don't even think it's legal. But I don't really have, like, a good answer for that. I love to switch putters. I'm a huge putter guy, like, and I suck at putting too, which is probably, I probably shouldn't switch putters, but I'm going to go with the tee, which I don't even think is legal, but I'm still going to roll with it.
That's great.
Maybe you should switch to a center shafted putter like KJ did pretty
recently.
What's
up? it's ugly so as ugly. Shit, but I've had putting woes pretty bad, but yeah, if it works.
Yeah, Thomas knows that I'm a horrific putter. It's always been like that. My ball striking's always been pretty decent, but my putting is terrible.
How many Scotty Camerons do you own?
I only own 2, but I used to own like 4. I think I've had 5 different Scotties over the course of the year.
You would always get the custom paint jobs too.
Big time, bro. Gotta look what I got there. Big time. God. I currently am using a Odyssey number 7S, which at first I loved and now I freaking hate it. It's time for a new putter. It's got to change.
Always. Here comes the putter throw.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so last one, with you being the Mondo Tiger fan, what's he finishing at the Masters and why?
He's going to win the Masters because he's on a good streak. He won at the end of the year last year. He knows what it feels like to win again. I feel like most of the big dogs right now are not playing that great. Like, Rory has been playing really well, but Tiger just smacked him. And by smacked him, like, totally was stumbling in at the end and really choked. But he still won. So I'm going to roll with Tiger because I think he's kind of figuring out his game. He almost won 2 majors last year. Like, very well could have won the British and the PGA. And time is ticking, as much as I hate to say it. He's got to get a Masters in. Now's the year. If I am a betting man, and I am, money's going on Tiger for the Masters.
All right. You heard it here first from Mr. Campbell Ross. Well, Campbell,
Tiger
again.
Is back.
You heard it here first, just like Texas football.
yes, exactly. But boys, thank you so much for having me on the pod. First podcast experience. I loved it. So I'm excited to listen to more of the 300 pods in the future.
Love it. Thanks for joining, man.
Yeah, man. Stay tuned for next week. Actually, we're going to give our Masters preview, and we're going to be talking a little bit of Masters pool as well. So we're going to give not only our favorites, but then kind of break it down by pools on who the favorites are. The pool is based off world rankings. So
got it.
We're going to be dropping this a little bit later in the week. So next Monday, we're going to record. So next Tuesday, stay tuned for the Masters preview. I can already hear the music playing. It's going to be great.
Oh, dude, I can too. And I just cannot wait to see the Sunday Red Tiger holding up the trophy with his green jacket. Like,
I love it.
Haters everywhere just being so mad. Best viewership ever in Masters history when Tiger wins by 4 shots.
Whoa.
I'd love that.
Deep. Took it deep.
Right. Yeah. And he's going to break the 72-hole scoring record, too.
When he won the Masters in 97 and, like, actually smacked everybody, I think that the Tiger, like, winning the U.S. Open by 12 shots days are unfortunately over. But I still think he can win by 4. I think he's going to win by 4.
Okay. You heard it here first.
He's going to stroll into 18 and be like, I'm the man.
Love it.
He's got the BDE.
Yeah. Yep. Big time. But guys, thank you so much. That was awesome. Hopefully we can get on the golf course soon.
All right. Hey, sounds good, Campbell. Thanks a lot. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, fellas. Bye.